Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Webtoon a Wednesday episode, and today we're going to be talking about a Webtoon strip called Waffles and Pancakes, and I have the creator, DT, joining me. DT, welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. So we're going to talk a little bit about the strip, the kind of slice of life, humorous strip you have on Webtoon, but before we get into that, always like to ask people sort of about their secret origin when we get started here. So give us your rundown, your history with comics. Did you grow up reading them? What's the story there?
I grew up reading comics, but mostly web comics, especially. I remember when they were just starting to become big on the internet, and I had all the update days memorized, and I had a morning routine of going through everybody's updates. So webcomics were always interesting to me, but I never thought I would be a creator of one.
No, you never envisioned yourself having stories to tell or telling stories through sequential art, whether that be published comics or digital? It wasn't really a consideration for you?
No, I wanted to be an author, but I never expected visual art to be a main career path for me. It kind of happened by accident. I drew, but I didn't ever think that that would be my actual career.
So how did you sort of fall into it then?
It happened very much by accident. I bought a drawing tablet on a whim just, you know, to get kind of back into drawing as an adult. And I was writing a book at the time, and I started drawing comics about those characters just to kind of test out the drawing tablet and to get used to drawing digital stuff. And they were terrible. I was so not used to using it, but I took the first 10 or so that I made, and again, on a whim, just kind of uploaded them to Imgur, like imgur.com. And it actually went viral, and people told me to make a site and keep doing it. And I did. And somehow I ended up here.
So is Waffles and Pancakes, was that the what you drew on the tablet? Was that your initial foray here?
Yes, but it was very messy back then, because this was before I was with Webtoon and before I was, you know, putting much effort into making it clean. So when Webtoon picked me up, they actually had me redo it from some of the earlier strips and redo the artwork and just make everything a little more professional.
Got it. Well, we're talking about Waffles and Pancakes here. Why don't you let everybody know sort of what the strip is about?
It's slice of life comedy set on a college campus. I would say, as opposed to other slice of life comics, it probably has more of an emphasis on character development than a lot of them. It's fictional characters. Main characters are Aiden and Kaya. And Aiden's a big, tall goofball with weird ideas. And Kaya's a little more analytical and serious. And she's kind of mean sometimes. And they balance each other out. They kind of have a ham and deadpan trope going. And it's meant to capture college silliness and that time in your life where you're just doing dumb things with your friends because it's fun. And it's meant to be fun, and it's meant to make people smile.
And you mentioned you were developing it as a book first, so that you were going to kind of tell the story of these two friends going through the college in a prose format. Was that your original plan?
Yeah. I wasn't sure if I was ever really going to do anything with it, but I was writing it, and it was actually much more serious. Like, it was silly still, because anytime Aiden's involved, there's going to be silliness involved, but it had more of a serious kind of plot to it. And the comics ended up being sort of a way for me to just write about these people that I loved in a more lighthearted and fun way, which I think was a nice release for me to be able to just let them be people and have fun and, you know, explore their dynamic with each other.
So how did you originally come up with the idea when you were developing it for prose? Was it just a desire to tell a story about two characters sort of growing and evolving through a friendship?
Yes and no. This might be surprising to some people who are familiar with the characters, but the book I was writing was actually a fantasy book, but sort of grounded in reality in the modern world. And, but it was very much about their friendship as well. A lot of people comment, they ask, they want the story of how Aiden and Kaya met. And the book was basically that story of how they met and became friends. And then Waffles and Pancakes ends up being more of an exploration of that friendship as it exists. But the book was much more serious. And I'd still like to get that done at some point, but my focus ends up going all to the comics now.
Yeah, so I'm curious. I don't know if we can pinpoint it. It may be something that, you know, that's kind of ethereal, but what was it about you starting to put some of these ideas and some of these characters, not onto paper, but, you know, visually with the tablet, you know, creating them from your imagination? What was it about that process, you think, that sort of moved the story of them away from a more serious tone and started injecting the humor? I mean, do you think that might have happened with the prose novel anyway, just based on, you know, the characters that they developed? Or was it something specific to the, you know, the visual aspect of what you were doing that you think changed it for them?
It existed in the prose as well. It's kind of hard not to have humor in a story when Aiden's involved, because his whole personality is that he's doing goofy things all the time. But the prose was kind of a juxtaposition of those lighthearted moments together with very serious things. And the comic ended up exploring specifically the lightheartedness, and that was just so much fun, I think, for me, and I think for the readers as well, that it ended up being the main and only focus, which is fine. I have a lot of fun with it. But it kind of took a life of its own, where that proved that it was worthy of my attention on its own, without the fantasy story, without the huge plot backing it or anything, just exploring how they interacted with one another.
Yeah, I find that interesting too, because, you know, you're talking about the prose novel being more serious, and you, something I want to touch on that you said early on is, even though this web strip is kind of slice of life in genre, it does differ from a lot of slice of life in that there's this undercurrent of their growth, right? Like this deeper story that you're telling. It's not just sort of one kind of funny joke or one funny situation and you can, you know, read them out of order, like I don't know, like a Far Side or a Family Circle, let's say. It doesn't really matter what order. Clearly, if you read early strips and you read later strips, that these characters are on a journey. They're evolving and they're changing. So it's interesting in that way, and it does differ, as you said, from other kind of slice of life things. As an author, like, just putting aside the artistic side of you, is that something that intrigues you, like seeing characters evolve? Is that something you want to explore? I mean, because like you said, the prose novel originally maybe was going to be a little more fantastical, but you really, through humor and the relationship of these two characters, are kind of exploring who we are as people and what relationships mean. And as funny as the strip is and as lighthearted and uplifting as it can be, you are kind of exploring in a way some really sort of deep topics, right?
Yeah, I try to. For me, there's much more of a point to something, and I don't say this meaning any disrespect toward strips that don't touch into those. You know, they're it's just not their focus. They're awesome at other things, but for me, I'm far more interested in jokes that have an underlying story to them. I'm far more interested in the characters themselves than I am specifically in the jokes. Like, even the jokes that I tell are very grounded in the people's personalities and how they interact with each other, because that's really what interests me as a creator, is seeing these people grow over time and how they change one another. And I think I'm really glad that this success with the comics happened, because it's given me time to more deeply explore this character development, I think, than I would have had that never happened. I think if I'd done just the books and left it at that, it probably would have been on the back burner compared to the plot of the book. And I'm really glad that I've been able to just dive into who these people are and how they're changing each other and how they're learning from one another. And that's important to me, and I'm glad to have had the opportunity to do it.
Yeah, and again, I think it's important to to point out, as funny and as lighthearted as the strip is. And you can, it's like a lot of my favorite comics, you know, it's one of the, it presents you with ideas that make you think. And if that's not your thing, there's a surface level, there's the humor, there's the kind of the comedy, and you can just read it for that, and that's fine. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is that deeper layer, which I find interesting. And I think relatable as well, because like you said, it's about the stories, right? And you can tell that through jokes, but I'm sure a lot of us can relate to coming into a group of people and becoming friends with them, and maybe they were friends before you got there, and they have little inside jokes, and you're not necessarily privy to them, and they seem kind of funny, but you find yourself more interested in not why the joke is funny, what's the story behind it, right? That's the interesting stuff. Everybody has their own stories, and you can get a chance to kind of learn about them. And I wanted to ask you also, and this is probably a question you get a lot, are these characters based on real people? Are they anyone you know, maybe yourself even?
They're not specifically based on real people, but and I do get asked that a lot, and the answer I give is that they're not real people, but in a way they're kind of, Aiden and Kaya are kind of the two different sides of myself. And I think they're the two different sides of people in general, because I think all of us have that more logical, ambitious, focused side that, you know, wants to get things done and, you know, wants to make sure things are organized and going well. And I think we all also have that more spontaneous side that, you know, wants to procrastinate and do things that are fun, and also has a lot of, you know, compassion and just passion in general. You know, I think everyone has Kaya's logical side and then Aiden's passionate side. And I think that's a part of why so many commenters have told me that they find both of them relatable.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I know I have lots of funny stories and funny situations from college as well. So I have to imagine some of the experiences and situations are you're drawing from your own life experiences or maybe stories you've heard from friends. Is that right?
Yeah. Definitely specific quotes. I'm trying to think of specific examples, but what often happens is I'll think of something funny that happened in my life, and then I'll kind of workshop the idea over and over again. And by the end of it, it's different and almost unrecognizable. So it's hard to point out any strips that are, you know, one for one representations of something that happened in real life. But there's definitely just that whole mood of silliness and, you know, getting up to dumb shenanigans with your friends just to waste time. And that's absolutely drawn from, you know, real life, like my own college experience and just, you know, being young and having friends and doing dumb things.
Yeah, I can relate for sure, especially living on, where I went to school, the campus was relatively remote. And for those of us that lived on campus, it wasn't necessarily easy to go and find things to entertain ourselves off campus. So we got up to plenty of shenanigans on campus for sure. We left.
Absolutely.
Is that the challenge? The biggest challenge of the strip is keeping it fresh. And, you know, it's always that next deadline. It's always that next strip. And especially for you, because beyond, as we said, the slice of life and the humor, you have that underlying narrative. So does it become challenging at times to keep the strip fresh?
Absolutely. Like that, I think you're hitting the nail on the head with that being the biggest challenge. It's tough because I noticed recently that I tend to do a lot of the same types of punchlines over and over. Like one of my favorite things to do, because personally I find that kind of humor hilarious, is to just have somebody doing something weird in public and then having everyone react to it. And I was realizing, like, I do that too much. I need to sprinkle it sparingly. So it's hard because that's what I want to do. That's what I find funny. But I know it's going to get old if I do it all the time. So I end up trying to explore different ideas more slowly. And I've introduced new characters to try to keep it fresh, like Tater, you know, the weird cat. But I try very hard to do it in a way that doesn't seem forced. Because I think that's one of the worst things when you can tell a character is introduced solely to keep something fresh. So I want to make sure it's done in a way that makes sense, that fits the mood of the comic. And it absolutely is tough, and just brainstorming in general, because for me at least, these kinds of jokes are, as much as they come naturally to me in some ways, that they are difficult to write. It takes a lot of brainstorming. It takes a lot of coming up with dialogue. I'll spend hours upon hours just trying to come up with an idea that I think works, and it doesn't always get me anywhere. I don't always come up with anything, which can be really frustrating, but I'm trying.
Yeah, I think that humor is one of the hardest things to write. I've heard from a lot of webtoon creators, specifically those that you know, that write in this sort of style, the, you know, slice of life, the humor. Sometimes it's just not there, you know. And but the deadline is, so it's like,
yeah,
I've got to find a way to come up with something. Do you at times kind of try to unplug and go like see a movie or watch TV or read other strips or just something that not necessarily like steal an idea, but just kind of recharge, you know, your creative juices, so to speak, and maybe be inspired by some other things? Is that something that's worked for you?
Well, sometimes I have another major life commitment day to day, which helps kind of snap me out of the writer's block sometimes. Because I'll have to go do something for the firehouse and then come back, and then my brain will be in a different space. And that helps a lot with kind of snapping me out of being in a writer's block mode and putting me into something else. I'll also play like a lot of sort of idle games that don't require a lot of brain power. And and it looks like I'm wasting time and doing nothing, but what I'm actually doing is letting my brain run wild because I'm not paying attention at all to what I'm doing with my hands.
Right.
It happens a lot while I'm driving in the car as well. And I'll carry a little book with me everywhere I go. And anytime I come up with something, even something really small, I'll write it down. And then when I get the writer's block later, I'll go and read through every single little thing that I wrote down. And I have notes in my phone as well of all these little tiny ideas. And my phone notes probably look hilarious to anyone who, you know, is lacking the context because they have all these weird, inappropriate, profane little tidbits in them. But yeah, the fact that I have to go outside for my other life commitment and then come back in helps a lot. Just the fact that I have time to myself to brainstorm for that long helps a lot, but it is definitely difficult, and it becomes mentally exhausting at a certain point.
Yeah, I have to imagine that. Like you said, it may seem like you're not doing anything, but just giving your brain a chance to rest, get away from it, and just kind of let it rest, and you know, you get that free flow of ideas. And I think that's good advice for any aspiring creator. Take those little ideas, because you never know what one little, you know, three sentence phrase might turn into a strip somewhere, you know, down the line when you come back to it.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that.
Now, can you talk to us a little bit about the visual tone of the world that you've created and kind of how that developed over time, kind of what you were going for?
It's a little tough for me to answer because I don't think I'm as sort of accomplished in the visual art as a lot of the other webtoon creators are. I think I'm improving, but I don't think I'm quite on that level yet. So I don't think I have as distinctive a visual tone as a lot of them do, but there are certain things that I focus on heavily that are intentional that I do think I'm good at. One of those, I think, is facial expressions. I'm very particular and very careful about facial expressions. I always make sure that the faces are portraying the exact emotion that I want them to. And I think my drawing style plays into that because I need it to be realistic enough that when I draw a really exaggerated animated face, it looks out of place and it looks silly. But I also need it to be cartoony enough that I can get away with drawing a face that silly in the first place. So I think that balance between the realism and the cartoony kind of style is important to the flow of the comic. Because I want the backgrounds and the characters to look like people you might just encounter on the street next door. I want people, when they see the setting, to think that this is a place that could exist next to me. So that when something weird happens, like Aiden running around pretending to be the Sand Snake Man, it looks out of place and it looks silly. And people can picture it happening on their street and think of how weird that would be. So I think I've still got some work to do in terms of developing a visual style, but I think what I've got right now is working the way I want it to, and there are intentional aspects to it.
Yeah, I was going to say when you started it to answer, not to sell yourself short, because the facial expressions are outstanding. So I'm glad you recognize that.
And it Thank you.
Something you put a lot of time and effort into. So I think you've nailed that aspect. And another thing that I'll point out that I noticed right away, and maybe you're doing it on a subconscious level, or maybe you are aware of it, it's how when you look at the characters, you see just visually, there's visual cues in the way they dress, right? Like Aiden's much more sloppy. He's much more laid back. Like even in the visual cues, you know, the clothes hang on his body. You just, and the type of clothes that he chooses to wear, you just get the idea that he's much more laid back, much more kind of freewheeling. And so I'm not sure if you're aware of that or if that's something you worked on when you're developing the character design, but it's something that's a visual cue that right away from, you know, the first couple of episodes of the strip that you kind of have an idea for who this person is. So, you know, just like any artist, I'm sure you know you want to constantly challenge yourself, constantly keep improving and keep evolving. So I think that the art is great, and I think that you can see if you go look at the early strips versus the later ones that you have improved over time, and I'm sure you want to continue that trend, right?
Absolutely, and thank you for that. And the clothes thing is definitely intentional. I pay a lot of attention to how they dress.
Yeah, it definitely shows. Well, let's shift gears here and talk a little bit about the platform. You know, you mentioned that you kind of put these images, these stories out on Imgur first, and it kind of blew up and went viral. How did it end up on a Webtoon?
Well, the first time it went viral was on Imgur, and from there, a kind of small following grew of people who knew to look for my posts and knew who I was. And they actually helped me to set up a site and encourage. And from there, I started posting on Reddit. And things would go viral on Imgur periodically. And then every once in a while, I would have one go viral on Reddit. And that was always, it was mind-blowing when it happened on Imgur. I couldn't believe it. You know, my really messy, silly comics, they got so much attention in so many comics. Like, I was cut so many comments. I was pacing around the room, and I couldn't stop because I just couldn't believe it. And then on Reddit, there was one, which is the accidental racism one, that went viral and hit the front page. And it was, I think it was, or maybe it could have just been my homepage, but it was at the top of the front page for me for a little while. And I was checking like the views on the image where it was hosted, and it got something like 2 million views in a 24-hour period. And that blew my mind. And there were so many comics, comments, my inbox was destroyed. And that something like that would happen every once in a while on Reddit. And Reddit, of course, is a massive platform. And my site would get hugged to death. And after a few instances of that happening, I actually had David from Webtoon, who's sort of he's very nice. He handles all the creators, messaged me, I think in 2017, proposing the idea of becoming one of the featured creators on Webtoon. And I couldn't believe it. Like, I couldn't believe that anyone would even think of paying me for this. And that actually ended up falling through during that first meeting. I think they're wary of, this is speculation on my part, but I think they're kind of wary of my level of artistic skill at the time. But it was kind of a bummer when it fell through back then, because I was excited about it. But I appreciated that, you know, they had an interest at all in the first place, and that was kind of an ego boost. And I started using Webtoon at that point on the Discover section.
Got it.
Which is the unpaid people. They helped a little bit with promoting me there. But one thing I immediately noticed about Webtoon as opposed to other platforms was that the user base was massive. The amount of consistent attention and consistent readers it got compared to other platforms I had been using at the time was incomparable. It just had so many subscribers so quickly and so many commenters. And then about a year after that, David again saw that I was still uploading, and you know, I was getting busier in real life, so I wasn't updating as frequently, but I was still updating. And then he contacted me again, and we gave it another go at trying to have him be a feature creator. And that time it went through, and it was I was so excited about it. It was a really fun experience.
Now, when David reached out the first time, had you heard of Webtoon? You mentioned being a fan of digital comics. Had you heard of Webtoon previous to him reaching out?
I had, but I hadn't used it yet. The period in time where I read a lot of like web comics was more when I was in like high school, which was prior to these platforms. I don't think they existed yet. If they did, they were smaller. I was just going to people's individual sites and then following their links to other people's. So I was aware of it, but I hadn't quite made that switch yet. I was using a few sites that were similar. And David actually encouraged me to use Webtoon in that the first time he reached out to me. And I'm glad I did.
Yeah. It worked out well for all of us. what is it that you like best about the platform? Is it the fact that there's that sort of built-in audience? There's so many, you know, monthly visitors, daily visitors to the site that it's easier to get noticed?
Well, that's definitely a huge plus. Like I'm always blown away by just how many people are commenting and how many people use the site, how many people I know, you know, just from my life outside the internet who use this site independent of knowing anything about me. And beyond that, it's really nice to have, a site full of people who are there specifically to look for comics to read. Because one of the risky things about Reddit and Imgur was that those people weren't necessarily there looking for webcomics. They were there to, and I was lucky enough to have a very positive experience with both Reddit and Imgur, but it was much more judgmental because it was people looking there to be entertained, and if you didn't like entertain them up to the way they wanted to be, they could be quite brutal about it. Like personally, I think I have thick skin, but there were a lot of comments that I think if someone less calm about it had read, it could have completely shattered their confidence. Like there was a lot of pressure, a lot of people who were, you know, they seemed to be being cruel for the sake of it, because, you know, that's just how the internet is sometimes. But Webtoon had a community that was so overwhelmingly positive in contrast. So I think they were there specifically looking for something to read and looking to support someone and looking to, looking for new characters to care about and new stories to read. And it's a really convenient setup for someone looking to share that. So having a site specifically dedicated to comics is very nice.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, we can speak in generalizations, and it's not 100% true because there's always going to be, you know, one or two. But for the most part, I think that, you know, people discover a strip that they like and they enjoy. And if there's something they don't like or somewhere where they can see improvement, I think for the most part, the criticism comes from a good place. They're not trying to personally attack or make you feel bad. They're just asking questions because they want the strip to be good, or they want the strip to be even better than it can be.
Definitely. It's always been positive, even criticism. I think in almost 300 strips now, there's only been ever a handful of comments that I noticed that were negative for the sake of being negative. And that's a really tiny number for how many strips there are.
Yeah, it really is, and especially compared to, as you said, the way the rest of the internet is. I'm curious, though, when you moved over to Webtoon, did you have a lot, like, did it immediately blow up? Did a lot of the, you know, the other fans that you had from the other platforms, did they jump on right away?
Some of them did, I think. I linked all my previous stuff to Webtoon and let them know that it was relaunching there. And I saw comments that first night when the comic launched on, as you know, a featured one on Webtoon for the first time, of people saying, you know, I've followed you since your first post on Imgur, which warmed my heart so much to see those same people. I see usernames that I've recognized for years from before I was using Webtoon in the comments sometimes. And it is, so I know some of them switched over. I don't know if the majority did. I don't know how many of them actually carried over, but I know some of them did. And that in itself is just something I love to see. I love seeing familiar usernames.
Yeah, and so when you moved it over to the featured side, I mean, you already had such a following. I'm sure it just blew up right away.
I think it did reasonably well. Compared to anywhere else I had ever uploaded it, I remember that first night when it went up, and I was, you know, watching and refreshing and waiting for it to go up to see how it did. I remember being, I was just kind of bracing for the worst, because mostly I was insecure about my art style and thinking, like, what if, because I've seen a few people be kind of brutal in comments on other webtoons before, thinking, like, what if they just tear me apart for my art style? But I don't think anyone really did. And I remember being completely blown away that the comments were being posted faster than I could read through them. And it was like, it had only been up for a few minutes and there were already like 10 pages of comments. And I was like messaging my friend saying, oh my God, like, this is huge. This site has so many users. And I remember being so excited, and just, it was so surreal to me, because the only thing comparable was probably the few times it hit the front page on Reddit. And it was just as surreal, going off of only Webtoons user base. It was a really good experience. It was really fun.
Yeah. Now, how long was that between the time where you first said, you know, people seem to like this? It went viral on Imgur, you know, your first 10 or so strips that you posted there, versus when you got featured on Webtoon. Like, how long was that journey?
I think the first ones I posted on Imgur, I think, were November 2015. And it was like the day or so after I bought the tablet. I was seriously just trying it out. And I think about 2 years went by. I think the first time David contacted me, I believe, was early 2017. And then early 2018, I think, is when we finally got the contract to actually make it official and to have it be featured. Or one of the originals, as I call them now.
So really, I mean, not to say that you were, you know, not worthy of it, or you haven't worked hard and honed your skills both as a storyteller and an artist, which you're, you know, still working to always constantly evolve and improve on both of those things. But, you know, you hear about these people trying to break into kind of traditional comics, print comics, for, you know, decades sometimes, but you really had a much more meteoric rise.
I did, and I'm very grateful for that. You know, it still blows my mind to this day that that they even did well enough to go viral in the first place. Because there's still some comics I read, you know, outside of Webtoon, that are written by creators whom I've followed for years and years, and you know, in my eyes, they're far more worthy than I am. They're trained in art. They do it beautifully. Their characters are wonderful. And it makes me very grateful for the success I've had. And I think in large part, I owe that. This is, again, partially speculation, but I think I owe a lot of that to David specifically, because I think he was the one who noticed it for Webtoon and pushed it and fought for it to be featured. So thank you, David, if you hear this. So I suspect that's what happened. I'm very grateful to the first people who noticed it and were encouraging about it, because they had, you know, they could just as easily have torn me apart when I first posted those on Imgur. Like, they were so bad. They were so messy. But everyone was so nice about it and so encouraging and just wanted to see more of the characters and wanted to see more of what happened next. And that was so kind and open-minded of them. I think I'm very lucky to have had as positive an experience as I have had.
Yeah, well, I think it's well deserved. You know, there's that saying that luck is opportunity meeting preparation. Clearly, you had a good idea. You kind of captured lightning in a bottle. And, you know, you're telling relatable stories with characters, and you know, the jokes are funny, and Yeah, it's a credit to the fans as well, who noticed it on Imgur and Reddit and got it out there to go viral in the first place. So David had the opportunity to see it. So definitely a unique situation, but one that I'm glad you were able to experience. Now that you're a Webtoon creator and part of that sort of creative community, we've talked a lot about sort of the fan community, that side of it. What about the creative community of Webtoon? Have you had a chance to meet any other creators, kind of pick their brains, any advice? Maybe have you done any shows where other creators have been there?
Well, first, thank you for your kind words. Thank you for what you said just there. But I haven't met any of them in person. I'm kind of shy. Like, I tend to keep to myself. I've been invited to a few parties and stuff, but never really had the courage or opportunity to go, partially because I'm nervous about it and partially just because I'm very busy. I have done a collab with some of the other creators this past holiday season, at the December of the year past, and that was a really nice experience. There are a bunch of people in there. I know I'm going to miss somebody, and I'm sorry if I do, but there was Shen from all his various comics. There is my giant nerd boyfriend. There was Dammy Lee from As Per Usual, and it was really nice to work together with them. We had a group chat going of, you know, talking about ideas and how to collaborate, and that was really fun. That was probably one of the most fun experiences I've had since being with Webtoon, was just to have this conversation chain of people talking about each other's characters and talking about how they would tie it all together and just having fun with each other and being kind and being creative. And the end result was so fun to read through everyone's versions of what happened at that same party, which is what we ended up going with, a party that had all the characters at it.
Interesting. Well, I know you're busy. I don't want to take up too much more of your time. I will say, if you do get the opportunity, try to take it. Try to overcome that shyness. Because I know I was very shy when I was younger, and I kind of forced myself. I'm an introvert by nature, but I kind of, you know, forced myself to do this because I want to get the word out about these great strips that are out there, both digital and you know, print comics. And I've heard nothing but good things about creators who had the opportunity to go and do conventions. You want to talk about getting a creative recharge and sort of get those creative juices flowing. So it's a great opportunity if you get the chance.
I definitely want to. It just hasn't quite worked out yet.
Fair enough. Well, as we close up here, DT, I want to give you the chance to anything you want to say to your readers, your fans, anybody who hasn't tried the strip yet. The floor is yours. Anything else you want to add?
I want to say thank you to everyone for reading. I want to tell them I read through all the comments. I don't always have time to reply to all of them, but I do read through them. I have a little morning routine of going through the ones from the previous night. Some people have said some very touching, emotional things in the comments, and I want them to know that I notice them and that it gets me emotional too, and that I love them for it. I want to thank you guys for having me. I want to thank Webtoon for all the opportunities they've given me. That's about it.
Well, I think that's well said, and I think it's well deserved, and best of luck with the strip in the future. I'm glad that I got a chance to have you on. It was great talking to you. I get the shyness thing, like I said, but you've been so great to talk to. You don't come across that at all.
Well, thank you.
Maybe it's, you know, easier when it's just audio. But again, thanks for joining us. If anybody wants to follow along and know when strips are coming out, other projects, just interact, let you know what they think about the strip, where's the best place online, social media to follow you?
The only thing I'm really that active on right now, besides the actual strip itself on Webtoon, is probably Twitter. I'm twitter.com/DTSaranya on there. I post on there a lot. And I'll talk to people on there too. If you say things to me, I'll do my best to reply. There's a link to a Discord server on there as well, for chatting with other readers, and I stop in there sometimes too.
Okay, great. Well, I'll put a link to DT's Twitter in the show notes, everybody. So if you want to follow her, get a chance to take advantage of that Discord channel and go talk to other fans of Waffles and Pancakes. The link will be there in the show notes. So again, thanks so much for joining me, DT. It was a pleasure.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Thank you for having me.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.